Hello and welcome back to UEG Journal Podcast, your quick dive into latest and most impactful research in gastroenterology. I'm Dr. Mohsen Subbani, trainee associate editor of UEG Journal and a gastroenterologist based in University Hospital, Nottingham, UK.
And I'm Maria Manuela Estevinho, trainee associate editor of the UEG Journal and gastroenterologist based in Porto, Portugal.
We are back for the latest episode, and we are pleased to be joined by two special guests, Sophie and Henriette. I will appreciate in turn if you can introduce yourself. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Henriette. I'm the chair of the UEG Education Committee, and I'm a gastroenterologist with focus on interventional endoscopy in Switzerland, Basel.
Hello, I'm Sophie from Regensburg. I'm attending there and I'm focused on hepatology and interprofessional care and education.
Wonderful. So just grab a coffee and join us for a fast and focused roundup of what's new in GI.
Great. So I feel Henriette and Sophie, from your position, it is very interesting article because we all been through training phases to discuss your latest publication in UEG Journal talking about harmonizing gastroenterology training across Europe. So to begin with, can you please shed some light on that? What was the origin of this work and where this idea came from?
So the original idea was born because we were complaining about our own training. And lots of people from Europe were complaining about their training. So we thought, let's go back to the basics and look at all the curriculas that are out there in the national societies and really compare what's there to then go a step further and say, what are the gaps and how can UEG help to fill those gaps? And I think the strongest incentive for doing this survey was actually trying to learn from each other, because there are curricula which have different focuses. And we found out during analysis that each and every curricula is actually quite good, and that we can benefit from each other's knowledge. And UEG is a good platform to combine all those positive things and just to bring them all together.
Wonderful, Henriette. And when you look across all these countries and curricula, what stood out to you as the biggest challenge facing gastroenterology training in Europe today?
Yeah, what really stood out to us is the sheer heterogeneity of training standards. We see broad agreement on what every gastroenterologist should know, but huge variation in how countries structure training, teach non-technical skills, assess competence, or ensure quality through trainer and center accreditation. And this fragmentation limits flexibility, mobility, and most importantly, consistency in training quality. So the core challenge is clear. Europe needs harmonized competency-based training frameworks. And I think that is exactly why structures like the National Societies Forum of the UEG are so essential, because they bring national societies together, create alignment, and make this kind of harmonization possible.
So, Henriette, taking on your point that there's some good aspect in all the curriculums, but we all aware that there's certain aspect of the training which are not well covered in this curriculum and in certain part of the training programs in certain areas. Gastroenterology trainees specifically struggle with certain aspects. Like I give you an example, in UK, a trainee struggle to get an access to therapeutic endoscopy for upper GI bleed management. So any thoughts on that aspect, and how do you think this can be covered if we take a single platform?
I think the heterogeneity is very common. And what you are mentioning is that the access is difficult. Usually therapeutic endoscopy to a certain extent is included in every curriculum. But of course, the analysis doesn't provide us with the facts on how it's implemented. So access is a different story, which we might be able to answer in a second survey. Because implementation is something a lot different than actually write it down in a curriculum. And to say it, the UK probably has the most extensive and well-documented curricula of all the European countries. But what lacked for me the most, I think, was formalized training in soft skills, in non-technical skills research. And I think also, what the biggest finding for me was is that there is actually no framework for trainers. There is no or very few curricula actually specify what a trainer should know and how a trainer should be trained in order to make sure that they train the right way. So there's a cluster of things that need to be covered in the future.
Yeah, I fully agree with you, Henriette. And you also examine emerging areas such as gender, climate, health, and also artificial intelligence. How do you see these fields being incorporated into future GI training programs?
So, yeah, one of the most striking findings of our study was how rarely these emerging fields appear in current curricula, despite their growing importance for modern clinical practice. And at Professor Müller-Schilling's department in Regensburg, we have already integrated gender medicine or AI. I had the pleasure today to do a seminar in our clinic on AI for the students and also climate health into a medical student curriculum. But implementing batch innovations in residency training, however, is far more challenging than implementing these things in training for the students. So yeah, we need a strong joint initiatives and sharing best practices really within the national societies forum, and really a call of all the societies that we need to accelerate this process. And yeah, I'm very thankful that Henriette Heinrich and Martina Müller-Schilling started this process. And with the help of the National Societies Forum and the Magic Group, Henriette started the process. And we will define evidence-based minimum standards for future GI curricula and integrate these emerging fields. And I think that's great. And I'm looking very forward that, we can show you these minimum standards.
Thank you both. And thanks for taking initiative to create these platforms. And I think this is the future of gastroenterology. So we touched on some of the issues, and I think the major issue around implementation probably need more grassroots level work. You touched on the platform for the trainer. So is there any initiative, Henriette, from UEG or any other platform where we sort of come to use them, where we can come up in near future or in coming days sort of things?
I think not in the coming days, because I think the awareness for the necessity to properly train trainers and to also define what a training center should look like is still very much in the making. And that's also part of the initiative, of the MAGIC initiative that we started, that the UEG Education Committee, together with the National Societies Committee, started to really put it in a document that the different countries can refer to, that this is the minimum standard of what should be included in a curriculum. Because that is also a political statement that people can take to their, you know, local governments and say, well, this is what UEG says, we should really include that, and we should also provide funds for it. Because we shouldn't fool ourselves. Education is expensive, and also, you know, training people properly takes time. And in a cash-strapped health service, that is often hard to justify whether you should include all that structured training. And another finding of our survey or of our analysis was that structured assessment of competency, be it for trainees or trainers, is not implemented in a lot of curricula. These assessments take time, and people need to be trained to use them and to integrate them into everyday care. So I think we need to start with what you said, grassroots work, write down what the minimum standard is, and then help, you know, the different settings to really include this in their daily practice. I think the UK already offers train the trainer courses. We are also working on different scenarios to become stronger in that area, to provide train the trainers courses. And this is also something that the GI community, when surveyed by UEG, very strongly asked for, that there's training for the people training the next generation of gastroenterologists. So there's a lot of work to cover, but I think the two projects, the one published and the now the MAGIC initiative in the making, will lay the groundwork to make this possible over the next couple of years.
Wonderful. And despite growing evidence supporting competency-based assessments, like, for example, EPAs, DOPs, and simulation training, these tools are still rarely used, right? What do you think are the main obstacles to implementing these methods more broadly?
So what we found is that the biggest obstacles to broader implementation of competency-based assessment are structural rather than conceptual. The evidence for tools like EPAS, DOPS, simulation training is strong, but most countries simply don't have the institutional framework to support them. So fewer than a third of curricula specify trainer requirements or center accreditation standards. So the basic infrastructure for reliable assessment is missing. A second challenge is that many curricula still don't define how competencies should be assessed, and documentation is inconsistent. Benchmarks are often unclear, and without explicit competency mapping or digital tools, these methods become difficult to operationalize. And of course, we all know that there's the human factor. Yeah. Faculty overload, workload, limited resources, cultural resistance. It's much easier to stick to case numbers, even though we know they don't guarantee competence.
Thank you. Now, coming back to another difficult area, I know that most of us are, especially the group we're sitting here, proactive in the research, but we know that not everyone gets an equal opportunity. And you need to either go out of your own way or sort of make special arrangement to get engaged in research during the GI training. So how we can overcome that trainees to some extent at least get an access to good quality research training to analyze the evidence they're applying in daily practice. Not that everyone has to do the research, but at least to a stage that they are competent enough to analyze the day-to-day evidence.
Yeah, you know, when we analyzed the curricula, there was, as you said, a strong variability in the implementation of research training. And I think we can all agree that understanding the evidence and then applying it in our daily practice is the basis. In some curricula, it's just visiting a conference. In some curricula, you need to do a publication, whether that be a case report or something like that. Some curricula say you need to do an evidence-based medicine course, but to be short, it's all over the place. So this again leads to the MAGIC initiative, where we want to define the minimum standards. And we have a group focusing on this area to really put out a layered or layered statements of what research training should look like for people who don't want to go research for full time, but to define a basis of what a gastroenterologist or hepatologist needs to know on a research level to be able to assess the evidence and to go into clinical practice. But then, of course, also answer the question is how and if research time should be included in a curriculum that goes more into the direction of a clinical scientist or something like that. So this is something that is being addressed by the MAGIC group. And I think what we will find there is a couple of statements that say, well, if you don't want to go into research, you still need to know this, this, and that. And then more layered statements to really stepwise increase the intensity of research training. And I think this will also give a huge boost to the research activities across Europe, because I also think that research is not included enough in the curricula and not consistently enough. And this is why we always also chose to highlight this area so that we can support its implementation into European curricula.
Wonderful. And looking ahead, how can European societies better nurture the next generation of clinician scientists in gastroenterology? I think that we can move better towards this.
So I think the key is creating real flexibility, both in time and place. And right now, only 7% of curricula allow part-time training or mention it. And very few offer early subspecialization or structured academic tracks. And without protected research time and the ability to train part-time or across centers, we lose enormous potential. And to fix this, we need harmonized European research pathways and also political commitment to flexible training models. And that really requires strong cross-country coordination and strong political power like the national societies have. And I know I emphasize the power of the national societies, but I think this is the big friend of UEG. that all the societies are working together and create things and move gastroenterology forward. And I think this is very, very important that we stick to that and work together, continue working together.
So when looking into the curriculum, other important area which is least consistently come across in these curriculum is non-technical skills. And one of them, Sophie, was slightly touching upon, like human factor or maybe some soft skill around leadership. So what are your thoughts, Henriette, around that? And how do you think this can be covered in the training?
You know, I don't think that leadership is necessarily a soft skill. It's a non-technical skill. Soft skill always implies that it's something like touchy-feely, and it actually undervalues it. And I think that the term non-technical skill, it's much more to the point because it comprises so many things. It can be about communication. It can be about, or it should be about leadership, finding your place in a team, also asserting yourself, and it can be things like time management. And I think what's going to happen is that we're going to weigh the evidence. There's probably not going to be a lot, but we're also going to look at what there is some literature out there about how new technologies and how new requirements are shaping education and are shaping training in other specialties. And this is something that we're going to get lots of information on. So the non-technical skills need to be pushed, or gastroenterologists in the future will not be ready to become resilient to the one constant in our job, which is going to become more prominent as we go along, which is change. It's going to be constant change and constant emerging of new topics that we need to relate to and that we need to get information on, new technologies to adapt to, robots, AI, whatever. So I think the most important non-technical skill is probably resilience, leadership, and communication. And there is some literature out there that this improves training. So this is something that you're probably going to find in the magic statements.
Yes, and in line with what you just said, Henriette, if you had the chance to redesign the non-technical training components from the ground up, what elements would you include to best prepare future gastroenterologists?
Yeah, it's cool. We already talked about it, that Henriette in the Education Committee founded the MAGIC Initiative, and there are 5 working groups to define evidence-based minimum standards for future GI curricula. And lucky for you, I am part of Group 3, led by Professor Müller-Schilling, and we are dedicated to the non-technical skills component. And I can give you a sneak peek. As a group, we agreed on a core set of the following competences. And right now we are systematically gathering the evidence for each. And yes, Henriette unfortunately forced us to limit ourselves to 10 points. Yeah, it was really hard. So we negotiated our way to a very disciplined list.
Sorry, Sophie.
Yeah, I hope you are sorry. It included basic health economics, management and leadership, communication skills, resilience and well-being. I think this is very important. And the UHG podcast had an episode on it in the last weeks. Interprofessional collaboration and patient advocacy. That's where my focus is also. Into error prevention, very important in management, especially in endoscopy. Sustainability, gender medicine, AI, and competencies for the treatment of disabled persons. So these are our 10 topics. Yeah. And I think these skills are essential for safe, modern, patient-centered gastroenterology. And our goal is to deliver an evidence-based framework for that European societies can directly implement.
Excellent. I think we had a great discussion, and I hope our viewer and listeners would enjoy this discussion around. So as a final word of wisdom, Henriette and Sophie, how do you think harmonization the GI curriculum across the Europe would work?
It will take time. I think it will need exactly the thing that we are doing right now, which is collaboration between committees. It needs a strong network of national societies that share information, that learn from each other. And this is all made possible by a strong representation of national societies, also the specialist societies. And I think UEG as an umbrella provides that. And then it will take time because information needs time to be distributed and information needs time to be implemented. So I think we will reap the fruits of our labor in about 3 to 5 years, I guess. Another step that we're going to take is we're also going to interrogate GI trainees and trainers, how happy they are with their training. And I hope we will be able after 5 years to follow that up and really see that these changes have been implemented. So it will take time, but I'm very, very confident that we are laying the groundwork for change and especially continuing to learn from each other. So I really like the project, although I limited the group's questions to 10. I think we're going to achieve a lot thanks to the hard work of everyone in those groups and also to the networking between the national societies. I mean, it took us a record short time for the education committee and the NSC. We literally had a couple of weeks until we had all curricula on board. Everyone contributed freely and in a very short period of time. And that makes me confident. And I think that we can implement that change in a reasonable time frame.
Thank you very much. And I think this is an excellent initiative and hopefully we will see the magic of magic soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. This interview was really inspiring and I really think that these efforts are super important for our future generation of gastroenterologists. Thank you very much.
So to our listeners, thanks for joining us. I hope that you will enjoy today's special episode around the training curriculum and harmonizing training across Europe, including UK. And please feel free to leave us a comment and also leave any comment for UEG training committee, which you would like to include or being discussed in our meetings. Up till then, please stay subscribed and don't forget to share our podcast. And for latest literature, please do subscribe for UEG channel. Thank you very much.